Second Sunday after Christmas, January 3rd, 2021. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you ever have a moment in your childhood where you couldn't find your parents? When you looked around and didn't see them? Maybe you grabbed a stranger's hand by mistake or ran up to someone who from behind looked like mom or dad, but wasn't. There's that moment of looking up and feeling scared or alone that it's hard to describe. As a parent, have you ever temporarily lost a child? Now, when I was a kid, this would be not returning home when it was dark, and I can remember the trouble I would get into from my mom when I didn't show up on time or when I didn't call. I also remember when my children would disappear in stores. You're looking at something and your attention moves off them and turn around and they're not there. Now, sometimes a quick spin of the head would find their feet sticking out of a rack of clothing because they'd started a game of hide-and-go-seek because they were bored and hadn't told you you were playing. Sometimes they'd good and wandered off. The toy aisle or something else had taken their attention and they'd wandered away. While the details of the events have faded in my mind over time, the feelings that came with them, that moment of concern, that moment of panic, have not. As I was reading this morning's gospel, those memories came flooding back to me. In our gospel this morning, we learned that Jesus' family attended Passover in Jerusalem every year, and that they traveled with friends and relatives from Nazareth to the event. It was pretty common in those days to travel in a group. It reduced the risks inherent in traveling, the risk of being robbed. From Nazareth to Jerusalem is a 2 or 3 day trip, depending on how fast you're going, and in a large group, it was probably a 3 day trip. I think that a combination of the familiarity with the journey and the fact they were surrounded by people they trusted led Mary and Joseph to the situation they're in here. Now, if you've vacationed with family or friends, at times who's riding with whom and who's sharing tents where and who's staying the night in which bedroom can become very fluid. And keeping track of younger children can definitely impact keeping a close eye on the oldest one. So after traveling a day back to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph realize Jesus is not tangled up in the crowd of cousins and aunts and uncles and friends that they're traveling with. I'm sure they felt those same types of feelings we mentioned earlier. Concern, fear. Mary and Joseph were parents as much as they were saints. They had normal human reactions to things, as we'll see in the story. In today's reading, Paul reminds us that God is our Father and we are adopted as His children through Jesus. It's important to know that you are adopted. God could have said that we were His house guests. In that time, Paul was writing, there were expectations about hospitality and what a guest could expect of the host. While you were a guest, you would be protected and taken care of while you're in the host's care. But guests are people that we all know will one day leave. Now, sometimes we hope they'll stay a while, when the grandparents or the grandkids come to visit. And sometimes we hope that they're going to leave soon. As Benjamin Franklin famously wrote, guests like fish begin to smell after 3 days. But with a guest, there's always the expectation that one day they will pack up their things and return home. But God adopts us. In talking about this adoption, the Anglican theologian John Stott wrote, when people ask us the speculative question why God went ahead with creation when he knew that it would be followed by the fall, one tentative answer we can give is that he destined us for a higher dignity than even creation could bestow on us. Give that a moment's consideration. One possibility as to why God went ahead with creation, knowing the consequences, is so that he could adopt us. Remember, God loves us. He loves us even when we drive him crazy, even when we don't do what we know we should. He forgives us by what we have done and by what we have left undone. As we prayed this morning, we are his children, we are siblings in Christ. And as brothers and sisters, we sometimes fight, we sometimes disagree, but sometimes we also love each other in a way that can be hard to understand. It's that love that Paul in Ephesians says that we have for each other towards all the saints that causes Paul to give thanks for them. He prays God gives them wisdom and revelation of the hope that we've been all called to because as God's children, that hope is our inheritance. God gives every spiritual gift to us, and we are thankful. That's why the prophet Jeremiah can have confidence that God will regather his people. Even after the sin and even after everything they'd done, he can cry out, "Save, O Lord, your people." He knew their prayers would be answered. Regardless of whether they were scattered to the uttermost parts of the earth, whatever their age, whatever physical state they find themselves in, they know that God has become a father and that they are like his firstborn. This redemption causes them to be glad, to dance, to be merry, to be satisfied. This is why the psalmist can rejoice that their strength is in God, that as we travel the pilgrim's path, we'll find springs of water wherever we'll go. We can join with the family of God in knowing that God is our sun and our shield, that God will provide for us, that God will protect us, that we can find refuge beside the altar, that we will find rest and security in our Father's house. This brings us back to Jesus. After searching, Joseph and Mary find him at the temple as a 12-year-old sitting with the teachers of the law. Barclay tells us that during the Passover season, it was the custom for the Sanhedrin to meet in public in the temple court to discuss, in the presence of all who wanted to listen, religious and theological questions. Before the internet, this was where people would go to have their arguments about who God is and what God said. We find Jesus listening, talking, and answering those questions with the preeminent rabbis of the day. It astonished his parents. Mary scolds him, "Why did you treat us like this? We've been searching for you in great anxiety." Mary was a mother and was concerned with Jesus' well-being. Jesus' response, "Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" was one that they didn't fully understand at the time. Even after the angels, the shepherds, the Magi, Anna, Simeon, Zechariah, cousin Elizabeth and her son John, after all the miracles, Mary and Joseph didn't fully understand what was happening, who Jesus was. Next Wednesday, the 6th, we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an ancient and important feast that commemorates the coming of the Magi, and next Sunday we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, both of which help give us a broader understanding of Christ's divinity. But even with the miraculous having been a part of their lives for 13 years, they didn't fully understand what was happening. Take heart if you don't fully understand or if you have doubts. Jesus went home with them and was obedient, and the Bible says he increased in wisdom and years in human and divine favor. Luke here reminds us that he was fully human, and he grew. When Jeremiah prophesied, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel," God would fulfill that promise in his Son. He saved his people, and he adopted us all as his children. Join in proclaiming that good news throughout the world. Amen.